and welcome back, everyone. You're listening to IASA's Additional Coverage Podcast, episode number 29. I'm your host, Tim Hicks. And joining me for today's additional coverage, I'm pleased to welcome today's guest, Dr. Pat Schmid. Hello, Pat. It's great to see you.
It's great to be here.
Pat is the president of the institutes with whom IASA has just recently partnered. Today, Pat's going to talk about a risk stream collaborative and some of the use cases that fuel a risk stream collaborative. But first, before we get into that, I would like to recognize and express my appreciation for the support that we receive from IASA's member companies and volunteers. IASA is the voice of the insurance industry. If your company is not already a member, I encourage you to consider all of the benefits that come with membership in IASA. You can find out more at IASA.org. Well, Pat, I guess the best place to start is the very beginning. Would you please talk to us about this risk stream collaborative? What is it? What does it accomplish? Who benefits from it? And what are its foundational pillars? I've handed you a handful of questions already.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Tim. Thank you for having me. The Institute's Risk Stream Collaborative is an affiliate of the Institute's. As most folks on the line probably are aware, the Institutes is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has been providing professional development services to the insurance industry for over 100 years and has a variety of affiliates, including the Risk Stream Collaborative, has a board of 40 to 50 general CEO level individuals, educates over 100,000 insurance professionals annually. So they do a lot of things, not only for professional development and education, but also through their affiliate organizations, such as IASA and the Risk Stream Collaborative. The Risk Stream Collaborative is a separate nonprofit, 501c6 membership organization. And our goal is to bring the industry together to basically form an ecosystem. And the ecosystem is aiming to use emerging technologies such as blockchain technology to streamline flow and verification of data for multi-party business process challenges. So really the area, the sweet spot for what we're doing within the Risk Stream Collaborative is any area in which a carrier, a broker, or a reinsurer is engaging with another party, another carrier, another broker, another reinsurer to exchange data or to verify data. So we work collaboratively with the industry through advisory groups that in a sense choose the sectors in which we are going to explore use cases. We work with the community to form working groups that bring the industry together through these virtual working groups where we look at that multi-party business process challenge, and then we discuss it. We look at the way the business process flow works today and the way it could work tomorrow with emerging technology. And then we develop solutions for these multi-party business process challenges. And this is very difficult for the industry to do on their own. A carrier, if they're having trouble exchanging data with another carrier, it's very difficult for them to arrange that discussion as, in a sense, competitors. So the Risk Stream Collaborative brings all those parties together to try to solve this industry-wide multi-party business process challenge. And we do so through working group settings and developing solutions that can be integrated into core systems of record like claim systems and then be leveraged to save the industry time and money and provide a better overall customer experience.
Okay, great. So now that we understand the basics, we now know that we're working towards an end goal here. So you told me that you've got, six or more use cases already percolating. Could you talk for a few minutes about your flagship use case?
Sure. Our flagship use case is an auto-related use case. So it's an auto insurance use case. It's called RapidX, meaning kind of short for Rapid Exchange. And the idea of the RapidX solution is, I can give you an example. Let's say we have insurance carrier A and they have a policyholder A who calls in and they're in an accident. Let's name this policyholder Joe is in this accident. He calls in and I'll use a name of an insurance organization rather than A, Nationwide. He calls into Nationwide about an incident that Joe had with Mary. Mary has Liberty Mutual as her insurance company. The idea of this solution is today when they call in, their information related to their loss is written into a claim system on both sides. Those claim systems today do not talk to one another, and there's redundant processes. It's not an efficient exchange of information. According to our working groups, there's up to five calls back and forth between, in these cases, Liberty and Nationwide. Sometimes they're using third-party claims portals to get the information across to one another. Sometimes they're using phone. Either way, it's not a very efficient experience, regardless of who the two carriers are that are involved. And for Joe and Mary, the policyholders, it's not exactly streamlined either. So there is a methodology using technology to make this much more efficient without changing those core systems of record. Let's say Nationwide has a Guidewire claim system. Maybe Liberty has a homegrown claim system in this example. When Joe calls in, exactly the way it's done today, that information can be recorded in that existing claim system on the Nationwide side. Using blockchain technology, Nationwide can have a node on a decentralized network of nodes. So you can imagine, in a sense, think of a node as simply put, a computer for right now, on a private permissioned network where Nationwide has a node, State Farm has a node, Allstate has a node, USAA, et cetera. They all have nodes on this network. And in this case, that information, that loss information, can go from Nationwide's core system of record, their claim system, to the Nationwide node over, in this case, to the Liberty node, where it can then theoretically in the future be straight through into their core system of record, their claim system, which could be a disparate claim system. So by the time Mary calls in, that information already resides in the claim system and therefore cuts down on that time spent gathering that information from Mary. And once an edit is made to that claim system, it can then again be passed back through privately, securely, the network back to the Nationwide system. So now in a sense, you're connecting these core systems of record to one another and streamlining the experience of the back and forth data exchange between the two parties. That's what RiskStream is all about, is kind of trying to provide that multi-party business process efficiency that would be very hard for these insurers to do on their own because they're dealing with some sort of other party. In this case, the example, Nationwide and Liberty Mutual. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. So it's basically you're standardizing the communication link via this RiskStream to improve the efficiency of in this case, transmitting that communication of that loss between the carriers. Am I understanding correctly?
That's exactly right. And the cool thing is the technology behind it, this blockchain technology, allows for us to do that without a quote unquote intermediary that's aggregating all the data and storing it, which it presents its own risks, right? So in this sense, they reside and they maintain their own data just as they do today. As the two parties involved here, Nationwide and Liberty, they have their own nodes. And what we do at RiskStream is we provide, in a sense, referee services, if you want to use that analogy. We're basically setting the rules and ensuring that all the parties on the network, you know, the Liberties, the Nationwides, the State Farms, the maybe brokers are on the network or reinsurers, they're all abiding by the policies that we all agreed to. We aren't aggregating the data at RiskStream at all. They are sharing the data privately, securely, in probably the most secure manner possible between one another's core systems or records. So that's really the name of the game of what we're trying to accomplish here at RiskStream. The nice part for the industry is, in this case, they are able to exchange that data back and forth without that data aggregator intermediary. And therefore, it's much more efficient from a cost standpoint as well.
Nice. Well, now in preparing for this interview, you mentioned something that really caught my attention, and that's your use case for a parametric reinsurance solution. What did you have in mind for that?
So we've been working on a couple of different solutions. You know, we talked a little bit about auto, but we've also been looking into other areas of insurance, one being reinsurance, for quite some time. And parametric has always been, in a sense, you know, linked to blockchain technology. So we've kept our finger on the pulse of what was occurring in the parametric space for quite some time. And we partnered with a group called Arbol. And Arbol built a pretty interesting parametric solution for homeowners. And they actually have a live contract in place today with a small insurer out of Florida called Centauri. Prior to them coming to us to build this on a blockchain solution, they had a contract underway with Centauri. Arbol Re is a reinsurance arm of this insurtech. And basically what they were doing was exchanging data from a zip code level for something called a cat in a circle parametric reinsurance construct. So basically the idea is that it simplifies the cedent and the reinsurer operational process by leveraging weather data from basically a data feed. They use something called an oracle, which is D-climate. And this declimate weather data by zip code, in this case, they're using wind speed data, feeds into the parametric insurance contract. And you can imagine there's kind of this algorithm, which is basically a smart contract, takes that wind speed data in, looks at the location, and shares it between both the cedent and the reinsurer so that they have information that's completely accurate across the board between the two different parties. Again, a multi-party business process where they understand what the coverage was purchased, when claim initiation would take place, if there are notifications, what the loss calculations are. It's all automated, and it calculates at the individual policy level and streamlines, in a sense, the payout process based on the reinsurance layer protecting, you know, the entire portfolio of the cedent. So it's really streamlining that process between the reinsurer and the cedent in this particular use case. And we do that through this application that we're calling DRE, which stands for Decentralized Reinsurance. And we did so through a partnership with this group called Arbol.
Now, in your first example, it really sounded more like a B2B kind of thing. But this, is there any repository for this kind of information? Because I could see this really benefiting more than just the insurance industry. I mean, it can go into other aspects of insurance, or it could actually, in tandem with the National Weather Service, you know, create some efficiencies as well.
Absolutely. This there's potential for the insurance industry to use parametric solutions on a B2C level. Our sweet spot is generally more the B2B, so the cedent to reinsurer construct. But either way, the data itself from DClimate is coming from sources like the National Weather Services. So they have a variety of different sources that they use, and they in a sense provide a means to push that data onto a blockchain network like we have. And then the smart contract, which is in a sense kind of if-then programmable logic, can leverage that data based on certain conditions to explain information to both the cedent on the one side and the reinsurer on the other side, theoretically a broker as well. They could all be streamlined and all have the same access to the same type of information, which really makes the process much more efficient. But in the future, the payout itself could all be triggered based on this information coming in, as long as it's a parametric contract. So it's really exciting where this could go in the future.
Yeah, I can see a lot of application for that. That's really cool stuff. So we've covered some PNC application, there's this reinsurance application. Do you have any specific use cases for the lifeline business?
We do. We have several. One of our flagship use cases is something called the mortality monitor solution. Today, the life insurance industry really doesn't have a single source of truth for processing death benefits and claims. During that process, of course, family members are burdened with having to provide proof of death, and carriers must collect all this information and documents from multiple sources. So there's duplication of data, high rework, and so on. And for all the participants, including the insurance carriers, the multiple handoffs between systems is just not efficient. So what the mortality monitor solution tries to do is provide an incentive mechanism for them to share this information. We started with carrier-to-carrier data exchange. So give you an example, say John Doe unfortunately passes away, and John Doe is included in Prudential's database as an individual life policy. John Doe may be in Securians as a group life policy or an annuity, maybe Nationwide's as a retirement account. They have no incentive whatsoever to share this information with one another as competitors. And the people who are not well off based on that is the beneficiary, because the beneficiary experience is slowed down. But if they were incentivized to share that information with one another, it could expedite that process. So what this solution does is expedite that and provide a token-based mechanism to exchange the information from one another, and therefore incentivize Nationwide, who has the loss in their database on John Doe, to potentially share that information over with Prudential and Securian in order for them to receive an award. And in this case, it could be a token, which represents potentially, you know, US dollars owed to one another at the end of the year. So you're kind of creating a market for data, and the end goal is to make the beneficiary experience that much more robust and that much more efficient.
Having had personal experience with that recently, I can tell you that is sorely needed in the industry. One thing that concerns me about that is the security of, in this case, personally identifiable information. How do you address that?
Great question. The way we address that is we hash the data. So first off, the blockchain we're using is a private permission blockchain. So only insurance carriers in this case, at this point, would be permitted onto the network. So the example that I was using was Prudential, Nationwide, and Securian. It would only be those, it's often called enterprise blockchain because unlike cryptocurrency, which we're not affiliated with at all, we aren't public. So it's a private permissioned network. And that's why the institutes are important in kind of facilitating bringing those enterprises together. So for one reason, that's point number one. Point number two, what is done in this use case is the social security number is hashed, which is basically a non-reversible encryption. So there's no way to go back to what the original social security number was. That hash is then, in a sense, proliferated across the private permission network. So now, once Nationwide finds out that their policyholder there was a loss, that hash can be proliferated out to the network. If you have that hash in your policy administration system, there's a notification sent. You can then subscribe to the Nationwide profile on John Doe, and in exchange for a token that's paid to Nationwide. And then Nationwide can provide Prudential with that information, including potentially a death certificate and that sort of thing. So it's all done very securely without exchanging personally identifiable information, because the only thing that's proliferating across the network is that hash, not that social security number itself.
Wow, that's blowing my mind. That's really great stuff. Well, where do we stand in the development of this?
So on all of the use cases, they are developed to an extent, at least from a proof of concept. Everything we've discussed thus far is either being piloted or is in production. So the DRE solution is in production today with Arbol and Centauri. The RapidX solution is being piloted by three top 12 market share insurance companies in the auto space. And the mortality monitor solution, I would say, is a little bit slower behind, but is in the state of being piloted as well. It's being considered by about two or three life insurance companies to be piloted in 2024. So a lot of initiatives underway, including some that we didn't get a chance to talk about, in surety bonds, for example, where we're looking into power of attorney verification and verifying the bond itself, which is likely to be piloted in 2024. The commercial property use cases are more in the origin stages. And then we're even looking into using other emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence for multi-party business process challenges. So the key word for us is, when is the industry working with one another? And is there some way we can use technology, whether it's blockchain, which we talked quite a bit about today, or other technologies like artificial intelligence, maybe in the future, Internet of Things, IoT, or other technologies? There's all sorts of ways we can work collaboratively as an industry to improve processes. And that's what the Risk Stream Collaborative is really all about.
So if you're thinking business is just the same old, you are wrong. We're stepping forward into the future. Hey, that's about all the time that we have for today's podcast. But Dr. Schmid, if our listeners would like to reach out to you, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. We'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions about what we're doing or interested in getting engaged, please reach out. You can either email us at riskstreamcollaborative@theinstitutes.org. You could reach out to me personally. My last name is schmid@theinstitutes.org. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. We do have a website out there. If you're ever curious about us, just feel free to Google RiskStream, and I think we'll come right up and you can take a look at our website, and some more information related to our applications are all contained on the website.
And if you have any comments about the show or any suggestions, you can always email me at tim.hicks@fisglobal.com, or you can reach me via the IASA. Now that we're relaunching the podcast, be on the lookout for some new episodes that will drop every other week. So until then, I'm Tim Hicks with today's guest, Dr. Pat Schmid.
Thanks so much for having me here today, Tim.
Really appreciate you sharing your time and expertise with us. Take care and be well. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss a new episode when it comes out. If you have some coworkers that also need to know about the podcast, let them know so they can follow along as well. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.